That's the big number one song, Chainbreaker, from Zach Williams.
And now we've got his brand new song. Sing along. This is Old Church Choir.
There's revival, and it's spreading like a wildfire in my heart. A Sunday morning, hallelujah, and it's lasting all week long. Can you hear it? Can you feel it?
Good morning, y'all. I hope you are doing well amidst this social distancing, the daily changes to our routines, and the minute-to-minute updates on this coronavirus. We are certainly in an interesting time in our nation's history. The coronavirus has basically taken over our lives. It has touched pretty much every area of our lives. And even more than even before this started, we were bombarded by news about the impeachment. Before that, it was the Mueller report. Before that, it was when we killed Qasem Soleimani. And it seems like any news that we see, people are picking sides and picking fights. This constant connectivity that we have can be a useful tool to keep us informed, but it can also cause many negative reactions. It can steal our hope, it can overwhelm us, it can cause depression, and it can steal our joy. And in my opinion, this nation has had a lack of joy for a long time. Yes, we are indeed the greatest nation in the world. There is no doubt about that. But we are constantly on the go. Stores and warehouses and truckers work 24/7. Depression and suicide are constantly on the rise. And there is an underlying anger and discontentment that often rears their heads in acts of violence and rebellious acts. And I believe that a lack of joy is a contributing factor to all of these things. And to a degree, I understand there being a lack of joy in our nation. We have taken God out of schools, almost out of every public arena, out of the pledge, there are ongoing efforts to take God off of our currency. But what puzzles me a bit more is there also seems to be a lack of joy in the church. We should be the most joyful folks on the planet, and yet this is often not the case. And I am certainly guilty of this. I do deal with anxiety and depression pretty much on a daily basis. So I have to make a concerted effort to shift my focus and to see the joy. And I kind of find it funny because I must be doing a little better at this. At my new job, I work specifically with one person for most of my shift. And she throws things at me and we talk back and forth. And the other day she said, "Why do you always have to find the positive side of things?" So she meant it kind of as a negative thing, but I took it as a compliment because I must be doing a little bit better in the area of joy. And so that's what I want to look at today, the true source of joy. And as we do that, I want to point out the fact that happiness and joy are not the same thing. Happiness is an emotion that is based on our outward circumstances, but joy is much deeper, and that source is constant and more reliable than anything that we can find in this world. And then perhaps, in finding this joy, we're going to be able to start a little rebellion of our own. In the past, we have been a nation that has pointed out all of our differences, whether they be racial, economical, political, or otherwise. But the past few weeks have stripped away all of those differences, and we realize that we are in this thing together, as one unit, as a community. And there are indeed some things that we have in common. We have common needs, whether they be toilet paper or hand sanitizer or food. We have common fears. You know, is this virus going to attack us? Is it going to hurt someone that we love? We have common changes in our everyday lives, whether we have lost jobs or become stay-at-home teachers. We also have things in common that we are searching for: stability, peace, and joy. We all want to find things that make us happy, especially when all that we hear right now is bad news. And we search for that happiness in many different ways. Some of us think we're going to find our happiness or our joy when we find the perfect spouse, when we have that angelic 2.5 children, when we have that Cape Cod with the white picket fence. Some of us try and find it in the latest iPhone or the latest sports car. Maybe we search for it by landing a big contract or getting the promotion. Some of us search for it in a bottle of alcohol or perhaps even shooting up some drugs. But big or small, harmless or harmful, nothing can bring us true joy unless it is first found in Jesus. Jesus wants us to be joyful. He wants us to be happy because he is joyful. He is happy. He created joy. And in John 10:10, it tells us that he came to give life with joy and abundance. But we often get a misconception of Jesus. We see these portraits of him with this downcast look. And when people have played him in roles in the past in movies, he's always so sullen and so serious. But Jesus had to be happy. Why else would children flock to him? Kids don't want to be around the party pooper. They want to be around the life of the party. They want to have fun, and they wanted to be around Jesus. Crowds were drawn to him. People invited him into their homes. Men left everything that they had to follow this man. They wanted to be with him. Why would they want to be with him unless he was joyful and happy and someone would want to be around? Now, these folks actually got to walk with Jesus. They got to be with him physically. But what is it about Jesus that should cause joy in our lives today? We find that answer in Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to read a pretty big chunk of that. If you want to turn there, I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Version. You might have a different version, but we will get to the same place in the end. I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, it occurred that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole Roman Empire should be registered. This was the first enrollment, and it was made when Quirinius was governor of Syria. and all the people were going to be registered, each to his own city or town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the town of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his espoused wife, who was about to become a mother. And while they were there, the time came for her delivery, and she gave birth to her son, her firstborn, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room or place for them in the inn. And in that vicinity, there were shepherds living out under the open sky in the field, watching in shifts over their flocks by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood by them, and the glory of the Lord flashed and shone all about them, and they were terribly afraid. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall come to all people. For unto you is born this day in the town of David a Savior, who is Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, by which you will recognize him. You will find, after searching, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger." Then suddenly there appeared with the angel an army of the troops of heaven, a heavenly knighthood, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom God is well pleased, men of goodwill, of his favor." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste, and by searching, found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known what had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it were astounded and marveled at what the shepherds told them. But Mary was keeping within herself all these things, weighing and pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. The angel said, "I bring you good news that will bring great joy." He didn't say he was coming with bad news, with great duty. It was good news of great joy. The gospel message, that is the source of our joy. You won't find it in the sports car or the promotion or at the bottom of a bottle. You will only find it in the good news of Jesus Christ. Some folks are afraid that we preach too good of a gospel. They think if we make it sound too good, that people will abuse it, that they'll miss the big picture. If we tell them that God has finished the work, that he has redeemed and accepted them just as they are, that he loves them and isn't mad at them, that he has forgiven their sin, past, present, and future. If we tell them this, that they're going to go crazy and they're just going to keep on sinning. And don't get me wrong, we have to be honest about sin. Paul addresses this in Romans chapters 5 and 6. This is the good news. This awesome grace covers our sin. But it also does more than that. It doesn't say that we can keep on sinning, because when we truly surrender our lives to Christ, this amazing grace also starts to change us from the inside out. It gives us the power to live the way God wants us to live according to his will. And it changes our desires. We no longer want to sin. We want to live according to his will and his desires. This is the good news. And this is what we have to share with people. We have to tell people about Jesus and about the good news out of genuine love and compassion. In our culture and our society, especially right now, we are engulfed with bad news. We've almost become comfortable with it. We've come to expect it. But God is counterculture. He brings good news, the greatest news that this planet has ever heard. It's against our nature to believe in things that are too good to be true. But that is almost what the gospel is. It almost sounds too good to be true. Jesus is too good to be true. Grace is too good to be true. Heaven is too good to be true. But this too-good-to-be-true news is the greatest truth that we will ever know. We get what he paid for. No longer should we walk around with sullen faces, but we should live in a way that people know that we are different and that they want what we have, because that joy is found in the good news. That joy replaces depression, condemnation, and hopelessness. And maybe you find yourself in a place of depression and weakness. But take heart, because Nehemiah 8:10 says, "Do not be dejected and sad, because the joy of the Lord is your strength." Strength is not found in physical exercise or hard work or even in our own happiness. His joy, the joy of the Lord, is found in the gospel, and that is where our strength lies. Perhaps you think your depression or weakness has come because of this social isolation. Maybe you're an essential worker and you think your weakness is coming from being overworked. Maybe your weakness, you feel like it's from a lack of sleep or from stress. But I would submit to you that perhaps your weakness is from a lack of joy. The joy of the Lord is real and authentic. It seeps into the very core of who we are and holds us in a state of peace. It strengthens us, it soothes us, and it sustains us. It's not just a passing emotion, because no matter what we go through, his joy can be found in the gospel, and that is where we will find our strength. God's grace, his joy, and his strength. We have complete and free access to it. Doesn't get any better than that. You know, maybe you're listening today and you have never accepted this good news, this true news about Jesus and his salvation and his joy. I urge you not to go one more day without taking hold of this indescribable gift. You know, maybe you're listening today and you have accepted this gift of salvation, but you find yourself lacking in the joy department. You can get that back right now. Even David, a man after God's own heart, lost his joy from time to time. We see him in Psalm 51 cry out, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." So instead of going about your day today searching for joy in all the wrong places, happiness that will fizzle out like a sparkler on the 4th of July, let's go out and start a little rebellion of our own. A fire that will last and spread to everyone we meet, even if we're meeting them virtually right now. A joyful rebellion. A rebellion not because we're angry or fearful about the way things are, but because we know how good they can be. Because we know the good news. Not a rebellion that causes people to fear, but that causes them to be attracted to us and, more importantly, attracted to Jesus Christ. So I'm going to pray in just a second, and after that, we're going to play a song for you that I hope gets stuck in your head all week long. One that will awaken the joy inside of you, that will bring a smile to your face, and that will help you change the world through this joyful rebellion. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that no matter what is going on in our lives, we can find joy in you. I ask you right now if there's anyone listening who has not accepted this awesome news, this news of salvation and grace and of a changed life, that they do that right now. I ask you to be with anyone who has accepted that gift of salvation, but perhaps they've lost a little bit of their joy. I ask you just to open their eyes, to come in and to give them your strength through your joy, Lord. And I ask you just to continue to be with our government officials as they are dealing with things that we have never had to deal with before, and just give them the wisdom not only to keep us safe, but also to keep us unified, Lord. Thank you for all that you do. In your name, amen.
Hey, I'm out here today encouraging people to smile. Just give me your best smile. You guys are looking good. High fives? No high fives. Okay. So I'm out here encouraging people to smile. He's smiling. Hey, I'm here getting people to smile. Sir, do you have a couple minutes? No, everybody's busy.
Lost your way, lost your cool, then you straight up lost your mind. Tried so hard to stay ahead, but you keep falling behind. Life is gonna pull you down, make it hard to see. But a little change in your point of view could be just what you need. There's always a reason to always choose joy. There's something deeper that the world can't destroy. Smile when you think you can't smile. Get up and dance, smile. There's a bigger plan, the storm only lasts for a while. So smile. Happiness is wonderful, but it doesn't stick around. Walk in on sunshine, then here come the clouds. You can laugh or you can cry when it all falls apart. But I believe the more you laugh, the more you heal the heart. There's always a reason to always choose joy. There's something deeper that the world can't destroy. Smile when you think you can't smile. Get up and dance, smile. There's a bigger plan and you've got a reason. Think you can't smile, just clap your hands, smile. There's a bigger plan, you've got a reason to smile. There's a bigger plan, you've got a reason to smile. When you think you can't smile, just clap your hands, smile. There's a bigger plan, you've got a reason to smile. Go ahead, get on up and smile. You've got a reason.
Jeez, Pete, man. Oh, okay. You win. That was awesome, bro.